for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday morning service of August the 29th, 1997, with the Labor Day camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Billy Schaffner is the speaker for the morning.
He's going to come and minister this morning. He's a minister of the kingdom, and they have quite a lovely fellowship and church. What's the name of your town? At Carthage, Missouri, and they have a large, in Texas, Carthage, Texas. Yeah, there's Carthage, Missouri, too, but this happens to be Texas. But they have, and that's wonderful. They're have to enlarge and make some of the other part of the church into schoolrooms, but they have a wonderful congregation, and we've been down there, visit with them several times, and been down to minister to the church and to the children, and we just had a glorious time. But we appreciate Brother Schaffner coming up and being with us. Just his presence with Jack and the rest of us here is a blessing to us, because we need the support of other ministers. We're not loners here just to come here and be Glenn and Irma. That's not so. It's the body of Christ, and it's the fellowship of believers that the Lord's doing. It's the kingdom of the living God, and that's all of us. We're all the kingdom of the Lord. And so, Brother Billy, come and minister the word of the Lord to us this morning.
Would you pray for me this morning that I might be able to share the word where it would be profitable to each of us? Preaching without fruit is vain and a waste of time. And we just sense the need of the anointing and the Holy Spirit to help us. So if you would just pray, just stretch your hand out towards us and ask the Lord to direct us, direct our words. Father, we count it a privilege to stand behind this desk this morning and to share the living word with this people. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being one of yours, one of your servants, one of your sons. And Father, this morning we are praying and believing that the Holy Spirit will direct the word in such a manner that we'll be blessed and fruitful from the word of God, the planting of the word, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, the Lord is doing so many things right now that you just kind of have to stay. You just have to move pretty swift to just stay up with what he's doing. We've already heard in the meeting a word from the Lord. Someone this morning mentioned the fact, I don't know if they were prophesying or praying, 2 Chronicles 7:14 or not, but 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a formula for preparation for a outpouring and a move of God, and it is certainly has to be incorporated into our lives. I think we are under the impression that we're going to get something cheap, you know, like you pick around today and in the stores, and you try to find something cheap. Well, the revival that God is going to give and is given is not going to be cheap. It's just going to cost you yourself. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you a sacrifice in the presence of God, because it's going to take the presence of God, the glory of God, the anointing of God to bring us in. Now, he's ready. I'm persuaded that God is ready. But I don't know about us. But I do know that God's got some people in preparation. He's got a remnant in preparation, preparing for his coming, for his appearing, for his moving, his spirit. And I'm excited in my spirit. I'm getting a little bit older in my body, and sometimes it don't like to cooperate with my spirit, but my spirit is excited about what God is doing, what he's saying, what he's saying to his church. And the Lord's been speaking to our hearts, and hopefully, and I trust that we'll be able to, God is saying to us. A couple of weeks ago, Monday, I was talking to a young pastor who is very profitable in his ministry and in his church. I've watched his ministry for a number of years. I'm a good friend of his. And we were having breakfast, and I asked him, what can you accredit the growth, the increase, the Holy Spirit? What do you accredit that to? What did you do in order to reach people? And he answered me with one word. He said, desperation. And, of course, you don't want to hear that, and I don't want to hear that either. But I'm persuaded that if we don't get desperate, if we don't get like, who was it, Rachel that spoke to her husband and you know, she got on to him because she couldn't have a child. And he said, I'm not God. I don't give children. And she said, give me children or I die. Let me birth life or I'll die. And I believe there is a time and point in the church that you and I are going to have to get desperate for an anointing of God's power in our life and a moving of God upon our lives. Now, everybody's not going to do that, understand? Everybody won't come to a prayer meeting. I found that out. Of course, I've been knowing that for a few years. But the rule doesn't seem to change with the need. The need is greater for prayers today, for intercessors, for people that'll get a hold of God. But everybody don't respond to that. But praise God, there is enough people responding to it that it's going to bring the power and the Spirit of God into the church where the church will be built. The church is in building. The church, the body of Christ, is in building. Praise God. But God needs some desperate-minded people that won't turn loose of Him until He blesses them with His Spirit. Amen. You know, I was just, after this young man told me about desperation, and it really sounded off a bell in my heart. And, you know, I thought about Jacob. Man, you talk about a desperate man. It looked like he had everything that he needed, everything that the world could give him. He had wealth, he had family, he had everything going for him. But one thing, there was a missing element. And I want to tell you, there is a missing element in the church general today. There is a missing element in the general church scope today. And that element is the presence and the power and the anointing of God. People are having church without God. And if you and I would be real honest, we would also say that most of the things that we do, we've learned how to do them. And you know, you got to spend some time. But there is a missing element in the church. And that element is the anointing of God, the power of God, the power of His presence. Jacob realized there was something missing in his life. Of course, he had a lot of reasons to get God on his side. One of the main reasons, he's facing his brother that was fixing to deal with him. He'd left him in a bad left him with a bad taste in his mouth 20 or 25 years prior to this time. But that really wasn't his, that wasn't his greatest desire. His desire was that God bless him. And the Bible says in 32 and 24 of Genesis, he was left alone. And there he wrestled with a man all through the night. He wrestled with an angel of God. You know, I've always wondered how he could do that. Always, I've read that, I've been amazed. How could a man wrestle with God? It doesn't take but one angel to just annihilate a whole army. It doesn't take but one angel to take Satan and bind him and cast him into the pit. How did a man find the stigma and strength and power to hold on, just to cling? I don't think he was doing too much wrestling. I think he was just holding on. Do you ever get to a place to where you feel like you felt like you wasn't moving, you wasn't gaining ground, you was just holding on? Well, some of us have. And all about 5:30 or 6 in the morning, the angel said to Jacob, "Let me go. It's breaking day." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He was desperate for a blessing of God. Now, I'm going to tell us this morning, you're not going to get too much from God until you get desperate. Until there is such a hunger and thirst within your soul that you're going to say, "I'm not letting go until I get the blessing." And the Bible said he blessed him there. He touched the hollow of his hip. The strength of his body. He removed the strength of his body. He went away limping, but his nature was changed, and he was a different man. And his name was no longer Jacob, but Israel, a prince of God, one that has power with God. God's building his church. But there are some things that we're going to have to use our will to do. If you have the theology and the concept that it's going to automatically happen to you without you submitting to the will of God, forget it. It's not going to happen. It's going to take desperation. It's going to take earnest and sincere time with God. Until God fills us with the Spirit. Most of us, when we came in to the Spirit, we really retained and maintained a greater anointing than we do now. Now, you don't have to say amen, or you don't even have to agree with that statement. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of us that'd like to be back where we were 40 years ago, where it was flowing. Where the word was flowing. Praise God. And I know there was a lot of things back there you wouldn't want to go back to. But I'm talking about the anointing, the flow, the power of God. And you know, there's a lot of people, when they reach a place and a dimension in the Lord, they want to turn back and kick the denomination or the church in the teeth where they come from. But it took everything that you went through to bring you to right here. And praise God that for the things that the Lord brought us through and to. But we're sitting on a borderline of a breakthrough into the anointing of God. I want to tell you this morning that the church is sitting on the borderline, right in the threshold of one of the greatest breakthrough of the Spirit of God that is ever known. And you can get ready. It's coming.
Yes.
Praise God. We're not going to be playing church. We're not going to be acting and performing. And those who are acting and performing out church life will be discerned and will be cast away as an unfruitful branch.
That's right.
Amen. I believe that we're serving a God with a plan. And I don't think he's deviated from that plan one iota. I think he's still working on that plan. And in case I don't get around to telling you what I think that plan is in this message, let me just tell you now where you'll know where I'm coming from. The plan of God is not getting you to heaven. That is not the plan of God. Of course, if you die, that's where you go. We've worked so long trying to get into heaven, and God's plan is trying to bring the kingdom of God back into this earth. Now, if you understand the words and the teachings of Christ, you will hear this. You will hear it over and over. Even in the Lord's Prayer that you pray, that you learned. When you were a kid, you learned the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come thy kingdom. You've been praying that prayer all your life. And you didn't know what you were praying. But in the end of this age, the eyes of God's people are going to be opened. The spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears of God's people are going to be open, and they're going to know what they're praying for. When they say, "Thy kingdom come," they're going to know that they're praying for God to initiate or to bring forth His kingdom in this earth. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth, just like it is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Brother Schaffner, that's fanaticism. You bet it is. For people who don't believe that God's original plan was to make His kingdom, establish His kingdom in the earth, it is really radical. That is a radical statement. I'm going to tell you, God began His creation with giving man dominion over all His creation, over the animals, over everything that God created. He made a man and He gave him dominion over all that He created. The kingdom was His. He gave him authority. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord formed man. He took a piece of dust and He formed man. And then He said that He blew the breath of life. What did Tommy say that spirit was last night? He defined that. Or was it? Oh, it was Brother Coffin. He said that spirit is the Greek word, I think, for it is pneuma. I'm not a Greek scholar, but it is, the spirit is breath or wind. And when God blew into the nostrils of Adam, He blew the spirit of His life into that image. And that man became a living soul. The kingdom, the rule, the power of God came when the breath of God came. That is when the authority of God, when God, when He blew His breath into Adam and he became a living soul. Of course, we, you know, this kingdom exists of better things. Amen. First Adam was a living soul. Second Adam is a living, everybody say living spirit. The second Adam is a living spirit. And God gave this man authority, give him dimension. The Bible says, and you've heard the scripture and read it many, many times. You hear it probably every message that you've heard lately. Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, He made him in His image and His likeness, give him dominion over the works of His hands. But that authority was lost. Adam lost that authority. When God said, thou shalt not, God is something else. His ways are so high. He made a man. He blew the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. He gave him authority over everything that he had created. And he made a law. You know what laws are made for? To break. That's what laws are made for. They're made to break. God knew that. Well, you do know that God knew that he was going to break the law. You know that. If you don't believe the other part of it, you know that. If you don't believe that laws were made to break, then you do have to understand that God knew that he was going to break this one. And you also know where there is no law, there's no sin. And you also understand where there's no sin, there's no death. And you also know that we are now living under a new law that we call the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That those that are under this law, living under this law, will not come into condemnation, but they're free. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, I've quoted Romans 8, 1 and 2 so many times I could not remember them. And the other night I was looking and quoting it once again, and I said, God, what is the law of the Spirit of life? What is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Let me show you what it is. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. Also, it's in Hebrews chapter 10. It repeats it again. It's also in Jeremiah 33, 31. Here is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, and he's repeating it here in Hebrews, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds. Now, this is a law of the Spirit. This is not a written code. It is not upon rock. It is not upon stone. It is on the fleshly minds and hearts of God's people, and the Holy Spirit writes that law in your mind. And it is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is a law that offers life. Hallelujah. I'll put my laws into their minds. I will put my laws into their mind. I haven't done it, but I will. And write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, that's too good to be true. Well, that's what it says. That's what the book says. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe the book. Amen. I'm not concerned about what theologians teach. I believe what the book says. I believe the time has come for the law of Spirit and life to be initiated into the hearts and minds of God's people, that we live from a law of life that provides life. And along with that life, it provides strength and healing and abilities and the power of God within. This is the law of the kingdom. These are kingdom principles. Let's read it again somewhere. 10:15? 10:15? 16? Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, in the establishing of authority in the earth, God gave a law that when that law was broken, that man would fall. But immediately God stated a plan of redemption. And that plan of redemption included his son. And that's the reason that man fell, because the son could be manifested. Because he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was in the mind of God for the redemption of his people. And he sent his son into the earth to manifest and to cause us to know the heart and the nature of God. And if you want to know how God feels about you, read about his son and what his son says about you. And Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. He ministered with a witness from the Father. A witness from heaven. He brought the kingdom of God into this earth. He brought God's kingdom here. The rule of God. There was not a demon. There was not a sickness. There was not an element that could resist the words of Jesus and the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. He manifested that life. And John said, we seen that life. We felt of him. We walked with him. We absolutely witnessed the life of God. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus went away, now you remember, the life and the authority and the kingdom, or the authority or the life, was brought about by the breath of God. Right? When God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, he took up the image and likeness of God. But when he broke the law that God had made, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. In that day that he ate of that fruit, he died. He lost that image. He lost that authority. He lost that power. He fell away from that law that God gave him when he made him authority over all the earth. And for 6,000 years, God moved at various times, spoke in various manners, spoke through the prophets. And Israel rose, his people rose and fell, the kingdom would rise and fall. But he sent his son. And the kingdom will not fall again. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God will not fall again. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Praise God. Verse 1 and 2. Everybody that loves Jesus, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't the Lord good? Isn't he good to just let us come here and just sit in his presence and fellowship with him and fellowship with one another? Sing the songs of Zion and worship and praise and just fill up. Hallelujah. I'm going to go home full. I come to get something. Man, I didn't come up here to waste a couple of days. I come up here to receive something from God. I'm going to go home full. Praise God. I got a bunch of hungry sheep down there that I'm responsible for, and I have to feed. Praise God. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1 is a verse of Scripture that you've probably looked at, wondered about many, many times. Jesus said unto them, those that were with him at that time, he said, I say truly, verily I say unto you, there is some of them that stands here that's standing right here. There's some of you guys standing right here. What if I were to say to you this morning, hey, there's some of you guys sitting right here. You ain't going to die till you see the kingdom coming. Yeah, some of you'd say, oh. Some of you'd say, ah. Some of you say, praise God. I believe it. Amen. Well, you know, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Amen. Simeon stuck around a long time to see the Lord's Christ, to see the salvation of God. God promised him he wouldn't die till he seen the salvation of God. And he stuck around till he came. Hallelujah. I got news for you. You don't have to wait that long. The kingdom of God cometh without observation. Jesus said to those around him in Luke chapter 17, he says, when they tell you to go out into the desert, he's out there. He said, forget it. Don't go out there. He's in the chamber. He's in the hidden chamber. Don't go there either. He says, for the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. And the Amplified says, and all around you. Woo! Hallelujah! Well, I guess I could tell you this morning that there's some of you not going to die till you see the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God has come. And I want to tell you when it came. You know, in John chapter, I'm just shotgunning this. I hope you can kind of halfway stay with me if you can't get the tape and listen to it. In John chapter 20, when Jesus appeared to the disciples behind closed doors in his glorified, resurrected body. Yes. And he began to speak to them and he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Is it John? It's John 20 and what? Somebody found
21.
It? 21, okay. Thank you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. What did he mean? Well, in the Greek, it means, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Now you got to be a Greek scholar to know what Jesus meant when he told a bunch of men, as God, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. But I don't know how he can send me like he sent Jesus. Well, immediately after that, he blew up on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Then when he went away, he said, go to Jerusalem and receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Well, if he said in the place there to the disciples, receive the Holy Ghost, and then they had to go to Jerusalem and tarry for 10 days to receive the Holy Ghost, what happened to them there? They were born again. They were born again. That's what happens to you when you get born again. You're born of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You're born of the Spirit. And you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. You can't even conceive of the kingdom of heaven until you're born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He didn't send a bunch of heathen up to the upper room to receive the Holy Ghost. He had breathed on those people and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whew. What did he do? He blew up on them. Whew. He blew his breath upon them. You know, Jesus done strange things. He did a strange work. Isaiah 28 tells us God will do a strange work. He'll do a strange act. He blew upon them, said, receive you the Holy Ghost. In the upper room, some 50 days afterwards, let's see, I didn't finish Mark 9:1, did I? No, I didn't. Let me go back to Mark 9:1. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Yes.
How did God make Adam a living soul? He blew upon him. He breathed within him. How did the apostles receive the initiative or the origin of salvation in the upper room? Jesus blew upon them. Jesus breathed on them. He blew life on them. The wind's blowing again.
Hallelujah.
The rain's falling again.
Yes.
Fire's falling again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. First the fire and then the rain, then the wind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey, guys, some of y'all ain't going to die till you see the kingdom of God. I wish that we were so intent and so set and had our minds so set on the kingdom of God that we could hear the word of God where it said, if you look, you'll see the kingdom.
Amen.
Now, Jesus done a spectacular thing immediately after this. And by the way, let me read verse 2. I said I was going to read verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. After 6 days. And this was also a prelude of the kingdom. This was a cooperate type of the kingdom. The law and the prophet and Christ. After 6 days. I preached this here 2 years ago. I preached the transfiguration and what occurred on Mount Transfiguration. And I won't do that again this morning. I won't preach all of that. But I do want you to understand that the Bible is very clear that after 6 days, Jesus took 3 disciples into the Mount of Transfiguration and he showed them a panorama of the kingdom of God after 6 days. And you know that you're in the sixth day. How many of you know that you're in the sixth day? How many of you know that's why God is showing you that after 6 days, he's going to reveal his kingdom? See, it's been here all the time. We just didn't know it. People walks in the kingdom without knowledge. Jesus said, except you're born of the Spirit, you can't see the kingdom. Except you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom. And there's many, many people that has entered the kingdom of God, enjoyed the blessings of the kingdom of God, and didn't know they were in it. They just need somebody to tell them. Hey, guy, you're in the kingdom. After 6 days, he manifested the kingdom of God on Mount Transfiguration. He didn't care a lot of people up there. That's the reason there's not a lot of people today to whom the kingdom of God is manifested. And that's why preparation is going to have to be made. But actually, that was not the initiative or the initiation of the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. Now, 10 days of waiting on God will do something for you. I can't really prove that because I've never done that. I wouldn't want you to think that I've done that. But I have spent a little time waiting on God. But not 10 days. And especially with people. And especially with 120 people. Man, if you just tolerate that with victory. Don't you know some of them was unhappy or disgruntled or dissatisfied? But in the event of time, waiting on God, they come in to one mind and one accord. They were in one place. Now, this is where the kingdom of God came back into the earth with power. And suddenly there was what? A rushing, mighty wind. God blew again the Holy Spirit. And there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the entire place where they were sitting. Boy, you know, we've heard this so much, it really doesn't excite us too much. But we need to get excited about the wind of God and the fire of God. I've been preaching on the fire. And the rain and the wind. We need to get excited about the breath of God.
Hallelujah.
The wind of God. The whole place was filled with the mighty rushing wind.
Yes.
Nobody had ever experienced this before. Somebody told his neighbor next day, said, man, we was in the upper room and we was sitting there. We had our minds on the Lord and all of a sudden we heard the wind blowing and that wind filled. Oh, he said, where do you find that in the Bible? Of course, they didn't have one then, you know. You know, I don't want to get classed as a false prophet. But if God decides to do something that you just happen not to have found in there, that's His option. If He wants to fill a room with wind, and He's never done it before, He can do it, brother. And He did it. That room was filled with a rushing mighty wind. And as that wind began to blow, the Bible said there were tongues like unto fire, cloven tongues like unto fire, that set upon... I don't know how long those tongues of fire set upon them. Maybe there was a lot of people that seen those tongues. But I don't know how long they were there. But I know that every person in that upper room, the fire of God set upon their head. Fire from heaven came. And the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And they spoke in other tongues. They spoke supernaturally. Tongues is still profitable.
Amen.
Praying in the Spirit is still profitable. Walking and praying in the Spirit, communicating with God, speaking to God in the Holy Spirit is still profitable. It's strange, but it's profitable. And I'm going to tell you, you won't stay in His presence too long until you'll be speaking in other tongues. Because that's just one of the characteristics of the Holy Ghost when He comes.
Amen.
He likes to talk. And He likes to talk in a language that the world can't understand.
Amen.
He likes to speak directly to the Father. And so the kingdom of God came with wind and with fire. And the kingdom of God from that time forth was like meal that a woman put into 3 measures, or pardon me, leaven put into 3 measures of meal. And after a while, that entire... Now that depends on how you interpret that. I understand that. But I'm interpreting the leaven at this point in time being the kingdom of God dropped into the church or dropped into the meal barrel. And eventually that entire whole lump was leaven. And I believe that on that day when the Holy Ghost came into the earth, I believe from that point until this point that it's bringing its influence into the entire world, into the entire church, to the entire called of God. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds of the field. But when it comes up and grows up, it makes one of the greatest trees where the birds of the air come and lodge. The kingdom of God is like the stone that Daniel seen took out of the mountain without hands. And that stone began to grow. Hallelujah. And it become a great mountain. And the Bible says that it filled all the earth. Let me tell you something else it did before it filled the whole earth. It fell upon the feet of the image the image of the world systems, and it crushed them to powder. This kingdom will bring every kingdom into the hands of God. For the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, would you like for me to preach what I was going to preach to you? I got 25 minutes. I was preaching here one time, and I stopped about this time. Brother Glenn said, hey, you got, they're not ready yet. You got another 30 minutes. I was so impressed last night with Brother Tommy's message. Brother Tommy really blessed us. He was speaking about the Word and the oil, or the Word and the anointing. That's where I started this morning, and somewhere along the line I got kind of sidetracked. That's the missing element in the church. It's the oil, it's the anointing, it's the Spirit and the Word. And I want to read a verse of Scripture here that Brother Tommy, I believe this is the first Scripture that he read in his message last night. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. And I want us to look at that again. And really, I intended to just hook on right there and preach on the anointing. And if you'll permit me to, I will spend a little more time in the Word here. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn you at my reproof. Now, there is a prize. There is a reward at turning at the reproof of God, at the reproof of His commandments and His Word. Now, some of us have not yet decided that we have to do that. Now, I could get the meddling right here. Real, it would be easy to meddle. Sometimes I like to do that. Just kind of stir folks up. Do you know there are some folks who don't like to be reproved? You know why? Because they think they know everything. They think they have arrived. Well, I know you're not like that. And I want you to know this preacher knows he's not like that. Because the closer I get to the Lord, the less I know.
Amen.
If God permits me to just kind of move in just a little bit to the anointing, I look at me and I think, man, you don't know nothing. What have you been doing for the last 43 years? Now, I'm telling you, that's the difference between the spirit and the natural. In the natural, we begin to think that we have attained things in the kingdom. You don't attain things in the kingdom by the natural.
Amen. That's right.
The natural man, the carnal man, can't even understand the things of God. They are enmity to the Word and to the law of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, before we arrive at where God is bringing us, we are going to undergo some reproof.
Amen.
We're going to get our lives in order. We're going to get our lives in position where the Holy Ghost can visit us and move through us and speak through us and prophesy through us and sing through us and heal through us and raise the dead through us.
Amen.
Jesus said to the disciples, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. If He sends us, and He wasn't just talking to those 11 men there, I believe He was talking to His followers. I've lost contact. What about? Okay. No, it's getting too loud. Overshooting this thing. If He sends us as the Father sent Him, we're going to have to do the things He done. You know, I've always knew that ever since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I knew that someday I was going to have to do the things that Jesus done. Somebody said, oh, don't waste time doing that. You never will arrive at that. Well, I don't know that I won't arrive. I don't know that I won't arrive. If the Word tells me that He's sending us as the Father sent Him,
That means we're going to do the works that He did, and greater works than these shall we do, because He went to the Father, and that's the reason that He could blow on them in the upper room and they could be born again. It's because He had already been to the cross, shed the blood. He was in a position now that He could give birth to men. Even if it was just a dozen men. So I believe God's brought us around the full circle. Some of us in the Pentecostal circles, charismatic or whatever you like to term yourself, have decided we can just do whatever we want to do and still have the power of God in our lives. I got news for us. You will never have the power of God in your life until you're reproved by the Holy Spirit and you bring your life under subjection to the Word of God. And I'm not putting you under guilt, and I'm not putting legalism on you. I'm just telling you that that law, that covenant that He's made and wrote in your spirit, it won't even let you look at somebody and lust after them without quickening your spirit. This law is so intense. It is so precision that you have had a word of criticism towards your brother, and you lay down at night to try to sleep, and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, get it right. Correct it." Amen. Now, there is a requirement to receiving the Spirit and the Word. And that requirement is we stand reproved. And Brother Glenn, I see that happening to me. And I don't believe that I would have to be reproved and changed unless He was requiring others to be reproved. You know, this used to be my song when I just come into Pentecost. I just like to get a bunch of folks together and find out something they was doing that I didn't approve of. Man, I could lay the hide open and pour in the salt. Well, I learned that was not profitable ever. But reproof is profitable. And it's vital and it's necessary. I'm going to tell you, our minds and our spirits have become so computed to whatever the media projects to us in our front rooms, we just sit there and just take it in. There is filth coming through the tube into your homes. And you've told yourself, "Well, it's not real. It won't hurt me." I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It'll put you in a state to where you can't hear from God. You keep doing it, and you'll come to a place that you will go out like Samson to shake yourself, and that's all you'll be able to do, just shake. There won't be any anointing there. I want to tell you, I got a TV at home, but God has reproved me from watching filth. Amen. And watching things that gets into my spirit. Now, I'm just telling you what the Spirit is saying. He's telling you to spend your time more profitable. Amen. Spend your time in the Word. I'll tell you, just resting would be better than watching some of that garbage that comes through. And I know that we've been computed for this, and we've been computed to look and watch everything, but it hasn't been profitable for the church. And there's a lot of things that's crept into the church that's robbed us of our anointing and our power. Praise God. When the power and the anointing comes back into the church and healing begins to flow and deliverance begins to flow in the church, I'll guarantee you people will come. Every time Jesus went anywhere, anytime He went into a house and they found out He was there, they filled the house. Why? Because He ministered to them. And God is reproving us today so we can minister, so we can pour out. the Spirit of God. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. If you will hear my reproof, if you'll turn, God said, I'll pour my Spirit out upon you, and I'll give my words to you. There was two things that Jesus left with his disciples. I was just looking at that. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 8 and verse 22, I believe. Here's two things that Jesus prayed to the Father for him to leave his disciples. Now listen to this. Verse 8, I have given unto them the words. I have given unto them the words. Now everybody say words and spirit. These are the two vital attributes of God that's been a missing factor, a missing element in the church. Now, that don't mean that God hadn't blessed us. He's blessed all of our churches. We're not minimizing anything God has done. We're just telling us and reproving us that we have fallen short in some areas, and we need to come back up to a place to where God can communicate His Word and His Spirit through us. I have given to them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them. They've received the words. They're going to take my words. They've received them, and they're going to go out and speak them. Isn't it beautiful to hear flow of prophecy, just flow of a prophetic word, the Word of God? Amen. That builds. That's given to build the church with. Verse 22, Jesus says, "And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I have given them your words, and I have given them your glory." Hallelujah. How many of us this morning would love to have that glory returned?
Hallelujah.
The glory returned to the house of God. Well, I'm telling you, it's returning. It's returning.
Amen.
God's glory is returning.
Yes.
With His Word. His living Word. Praise God. I want us to stand this morning.
Hallelujah.
I want us to stand together as one.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank you for being so attentive to the Word of God. And really, this morning, I just feel like I've just wandered around and shotgunned this message. And nothing that I wrote down, I've got to. And just got to wondering. Just got to wondering in the Word. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, as I told you last night, that the glory of God is rising upon God's people. I want to read this scripture to you as a prophetic word this morning in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and through just a few verses here in closing this morning. My sense of the power of God, the presence of God is in this place. It's chapter 60 instead of 61. I'd like for you to just receive this as a prophetic word this morning from the Word. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now listen. The darkness shall cover the earth. How many of you know that's happened? A darkness, there is such a darkness that it is a gross darkness that has covered the people of the earth. But the glory of God has risen upon you. How can the glory of God rise upon you? Because He's in you. He is in you. He dwells you. He inhabits you. And that glory is going to be intensified and increased. And the Christ, the anointing that's within the church, is going to enlarge. I'm going to read it where He enlarges. Hallelujah! The glory of God has risen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to the light. The heathen. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a revival. The Gentiles, the heathen, is going to come to the... Hey, when we get lit up, they're going to see it and they're going to come.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. They'll come to the light, and kings to the rising, to the brightness of thy rising. When is this going to happen? Well, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Hallelujah. God even now is releasing the Christ, the anointing within His people. And it's begin to enlarge and increase and rise. And the words of the kingdom and the glory of the kingdom is come. Congregations of God's people will behold the presence of the Lord and the workings of His mighty power. And thy hands shall be anointed to lay on. Lay upon those that are sick, and the Lord shall heal them. And thou shalt see the workings of the Lord within thee. And thou shalt expect this. Even from this day forwards, thou shalt expect and believe that thy hands are anointed of me, saith the Lord. And I shall flow through thee, saith the Lord. And I shall rise upon thee. Amen. Hey, it's not if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. It's written. He's already put the word out. It's going to happen. I believe He caught you and me right in the time zone for it. It is time. It is high time for us to awaken out of sleep and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Hallelujah. I can't hardly stand still here.
Hallelujah.
There's an anointing in this place. There's an anointing upon you. Praise God. Why? Because the Word says it. Lift up your eyes. Church, lift up your eyes round about and see. All they that gather themselves together, they come to thee. Woo! Gather the saints unto me, saith the Lord. Those that have made sacrifice or covenant by sacrifice. Amen. We're not gathering people to a denomination. Brother Glenn ain't trying to gather people to a Hamilton's camp. Praise God. That's not the purpose and the motive. We're just gathering people to Jesus.
Amen.
And when they get to Jesus, they're going to receive life and deliverance. Hallelujah. And hope. Hope. They'll come to get, thy son shall come from far. And thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. And this verse 5 I really love. Then thou shalt see and flow together. And thy heart shall fear and be enlarged. For the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles. The riches of the heathen will come. Hallelujah. Do you know they just waiting? They just waiting to bring their riches in to us? Glory. Oh, there'll be a change of heart when it happens. I'm sure.
Because it'll be for the kingdom and not for you or me.
And they'll be happy to do it.
Amen.
They'll be happy to do it. Well,
hallelujah.
I feel like I've grown about 2 or 3 inches.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I get to preaching like this, I feel about 10 foot tall.
Yeah.
Amen. Declare His goodness. Declare His glory. Declare His word wherever you go. Lift up your hands and let the people understand that Jesus has come and that His presence is in the midst of them, and where we're gathered together, He's there. Amen. Praise God. Brother Glenn, I guess I'm through. No.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.